Welcome to We're Only Human, a podcast focused on blending research and practical advice to help today's HR, talent, and learning leaders improve business outcomes. Let's welcome your host, Ben Eubanks.
Hello, and welcome to today's episode of We're Only Human. I'm Ben Eubanks, your host, and I'm honored to have you here today. We have so many great shows coming up, and for your own benefit, I'm going to remind you, I'm going to take a second and let you know that you can subscribe if you haven't already. You can get We're Only Human on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, lots and lots of good places, so just go check it out. Give us a review if you like the show. Learn more, get more insights if you want to know more about the show and some of the background, things like that. upstarthr.com/podcast. If you catch this episode the week it goes live, I'll actually be doing a webinar with my good friend and colleague, George LaRocque, about the employee experience later this week, and I'd love to have you join us. Specifically, we're going to focus on how to get it on the CEO's agenda. So the content is based on a new ebook that we put together that focuses on how to take this conversation about the employee experience, which is pretty fluffy and intangible and amorphous. It's this very vague thing you keep hearing about. We're going to take that and we're going to make it really tangible and impactful for your executive team. Our research shows that the employee experience matters, to put it mildly. And in this webinar and the free ebook that you can get for registering, we'll actually walk you through some really concrete, specific ways to have those conversations with your own leadership team to get them on board, bought in, ready to support this idea of delivering a better employee experience to your people, to drive all the positive business outcomes that are associated with that. If you want to check it out or you want to copy that ebook, happy to send that to you as well. You can go to lhra.io/CEO. Again, you can get this link in the show notes as well, but that's lhra.io/CEO. So on to the show topic for today. One of the hard things for HR leaders to understand is if the work they're doing actually has an impact on the business. Sounds like the webinar, right? What's the ROI, if any, of the investments and the effort you're putting into your work? That's an answer we're actually going to discuss today with Kevin M. Yates. He's a brilliant L&D leader and a self-described data detective. You know, a couple years ago, I heard a CEO say, if you can't measure it, don't do it. That always makes me stop and pause and think about the things we're doing within our HR teams. If you couldn't measure the outcomes, you couldn't measure the impact, should you keep doing that activity, whatever it happens to be? And that's not necessarily a litmus test or a threshold that we should all, you know, jump right to, because that's a different kind of thinking. But I think that helps you to think through the kind of mindset and the thought process we'll need as we're going through the conversation today. Do you know the impact, the true business value, the true ROI, the things you're doing currently? Is there any ROI at all? Anyway, it's a good, really good conversation. And what I like about it is not just Kevin's amazingly rich vocal tones, which you'll thoroughly enjoy, but it's the fact that he makes it really clear about how to use data, evidence, and facts to support what HR and learning leaders are doing in the business. It's a really great conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Now, on with the show. Greetings, everybody. This is Ben Eubanks, host of We're Only Human. Really excited to have you here today. Today, we're actually talking about L&D, learning, training, employee growth. You know, virtually every study I've seen in the last couple of years says that people want growth and development opportunities. That's what makes them join an organization. That's what makes them stay. And today, I have with me Kevin Yates. We're going to talk about, on the employer side, actually, how do we know if those training opportunities are worth the investment? Does it really matter to the bottom line and so on? So we're going to dig into some of those fun things. Kevin is an expert in learning, analytics, measurement. That is his wheelhouse, and we're going to have a really good, fun, and probably nerdy conversation today, to be truthful. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ben, and I'm hoping it's not too nerdy for our audience today.
You know what? I have been accused of being somewhat of an HR nerd, and you know what? It's okay. There are worse things to be called, I think. So to jump off, tell us a little about who you are and what you do. I gave you the informal intro based on what I know about you, but tell everybody a little about what you do.
Sure. I like to call myself a data detective, and where I am focused for learning and development is using data and measurement and analytics, and using those as clues and facts to answer the question, did training work? Just in the past few years, there's really been a big rise in the learning and development space where organizations really want to answer that question. So they want to know if there is impact on people's performance. and impact on organization goals for all of their learning and development efforts. So where I am focused, Ben, is helping those organizations answer that question, but do it in a way where we're using data and facts and measurement so that there's fact-based evidence to say whether or not learning and development is making a difference day-to-day in organizations. So that's what I do. That's who I am. I'm a data detective for learning and development.
So tell me, that's what you do. How did you get on that path? I'm curious what led to that, because there are probably very few people that think, as a child, I can't wait to grow up and measure L&D outcomes. That is what I'm looking forward to. So tell me about what kind of led you to that point.
That's a great point, and I agree. I doubt that there are even kids today who you could ask, what do you want to be or who do you want to be when I grow up? And they'd say, I want to measure learning and development. I don't think you'd hear anybody say that. And my story is an interesting one, Ben. I like to say that I grew up in learning and development. And by that, I mean I started years ago, day-to-day, boots on the ground, as a facilitator, teaching bankware applications and teaching customer service. So I did that for a few years, and that led to a role in instructional design. And so then I began creating and designing the materials that I was teaching as a facilitator. And that led to a role in learning solutions design. So I then began to design and create and develop different types of modalities for delivering learning and development. So that included things like e-learning and podcasts and traditional classroom instruction. And that led to a role where I was focused on global learning and development. So I had an opportunity to do some work in Asia, some work in Europe, leading teams and working with learning and development in those countries. And then there was a point in my career, Ben, where I literally asked myself, what difference has it all made? And at the time that I asked myself that question, I came in contact with two people who were game changers for me. One of those people was Dick Hanshaw. He is a leading expert in performance measurement and performance management, and he is with the International Society for Performance Improvement. And then shortly after I met him, I met Dr. Patty Phillips and Dr. Jack Phillips, and they head up the ROI Institute, and they have a methodology where you can measure the impact of training, and you can also do impact studies for the return on investment for training and learning and development. And so at the time where I was asking myself, what difference has it all made? What difference has all the work that I've done as a learning and development professional made in the lives of people, but also impact in the business? And when I met those individuals, I shifted. I literally shifted my career and began to focus on answering that question. So my journey has been an interesting one because it started on a very traditional path in learning and development and training. And then there just was an immediate shift to me focusing on finding ways to use data and measurement and analytics to answer that question. So it's a natural progression, and I'm really glad that I made that shift, because I believe that I'm doing some very important work for our profession now.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And I love those points, those moments of clarity when you look back and you realize, if this had not happened, my trajectory would have had a drastically different, you know, landing point.
Oh, yeah.
So it's exciting to think through, you know, how those things influence that, and the exciting part of where you are today, because you love it. Obviously, it's clear spending more than 3 seconds with you listening to you talk about it. You love what you do, and so it's exciting to hear that for sure. Let's talk about it. I like that you walk through your career kind of on a step-by-step basis, because I want to take it back a little bit. And from a career standpoint, can you help me highlight some of the key competencies for learning professionals today?
Yeah, I think that for me, there's a shift. So if I were to think about what core competencies were, say, 10 or 15 years ago, I think that they're very different. Well, maybe not very different. I think that there's a shift. That's the best way to put it. So, you know, early on in the profession, if you think about training and learning and development, we were very focused on our catalogs. And I'm probably dating myself when I say that, because there was a point in time where trainers and learning and development found a lot of fulfillment in our glossy catalogs that we would publish annually in our corporations that showed all of the different types of courses we were offering. So, you know, at that time, you know, the focus was on delivering training. So if you were to fast forward to today, and in thinking about the answer to your question being what core competencies do learning and development professionals need today, I think that they need the ability to focus on business needs and business goals first, and training needs and learning and development needs second. So there's a shift, right? Historically, learning development professionals and training professionals have not been deeply embedded in the business, and have not had the type of curiosity that they needed about the business so that we can focus on business goals first. So as I think about those competencies that we need today, I think that, you know, it's curiosity, it's business acumen, it's the ability to dive into business needs. I think that there's also a strong need for focusing on performance. So on a lot of levels, learning and development professionals are transitioning into a role with two hats. You know, one hat is learning and development, and that other hat is performance consulting. So I think that one of the strongest competencies that learning and development professionals can have today is the ability to diagnose what performance needs are within the organization, and then link the learning and development solutions that they offer, create, and deliver back to those performance needs within the business. And those performance needs obviously ultimately need to support what the organization goals are in the business. So there needs to be a link and a map between the two.
I love the term curiosity as a competency or something we're trying to breed into this next generation of L&D leaders, because it's not one of those things that you're going to read in a book. It's not one of those things that they're going to teach you in school. It's not one of those, if you even went through a curriculum to, you know, get certified or to learn more about L&D, they're not going to tell you to be curious. But at the same time, I have met so many leaders who were amazing leaders because of that. I've met people that, you know, spanning all areas of the human capital management spectrum who are great at what they do because they have that fundamental curiosity and interest in, yes, this is how things are, but why are they like they are, and how can we affect those, and can we improve that? And thinking about it from that angle, just that lens on the world, is very unique and different, I think. And that ties back to your idea of being a detective, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for me and the work that I do, curiosity didn't kill the cat. Curiosity kept it alive. And, you know, when I think about, you know, the work that I do and my focus on measurement and data and using data to answer questions about whether or not learning development makes an impact or not, it starts with curiosity, because I'm data mining and I'm looking through data. I'm looking through facts and I'm looking through clues. And so, yeah, I am curious about the extent to which learning and development makes an impact. And if I didn't have that curiosity, I doubt that I'd be able to do what I do, or that I'd even be as engaged as I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the things, it's funny because you and I have been on these parallel tracks, and we might not have ever crossed, except for I saw you post something at some point in the last year talking about different roles you were seeing posted, different open jobs in the L&D space that were requiring some measure of measurement capability or some competency in that area. And that's an area that I was really interested in because I had done some research, and you and I have discussed this a little bit. Last year, at the beginning of the year, I had done some research around more broadly, again, human resources type roles, talents, learning just barely touched on, and you've been much more deep in that area, but was seeing very similar kinds of things. There's much more of a demand for these kind of roles than ever before. There's more of them being posted, but there's also more of that being wrapped into the job. It's no longer a nice to have. It's almost a requirement for these kind of things. Talk a little about what you're seeing in terms of that trend.
Yeah, there's a very interesting transformation that is taking place. If I were to use the larger umbrella, I would say within HR. And so what we see and what we know is that analytics and big data is leveraged across the business and other functions and other groups. So when you think about it, marketing, operations, productions, they're already using data to inform decisions and answer questions. So on a lot of levels, HR is bringing up the rear. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I think it's very exciting to see that HR is now coming along in the data journey and the analytics journey. So to your point, Ben, we're seeing where more and more and more HR organizations are leveraging data and leveraging analytics. And it's exciting because it's new for us. And I think that anytime there's something that's new, it's exciting. And so, you know, as part of HR analytics, you know, there's learning and development analytics. You know, that's the space where I live in, and that's the space where I work. And so you're right in that what we're seeing is a requirement for a skill set, within HR and within learning development that we've not seen before. So last year, beginning last year, I started collecting role announcements where organizations were posting for roles in learning and development analytics. And I was seeing where they're looking for skills and capability and talent that we've just not seen before as it relates to learning and development. And so these organizations are looking for skill sets where people have experience with things like SPSS and Tableau and different types of data query tools and backgrounds in statistics and backgrounds in predictive analytics. So we've not had that kind of skill set in learning and development. It all sounds very foreign to me when you think about it, because we've just not had that type of talent embedded in learning and development organizations. But as the entire organization moves along in the data and analytics journey, again, we're beginning to see where HR and more specifically for me, learning and development is on that journey now. And I think that, it's a journey that you can't get off. I mean, it's one where we're going to have to stay on it. And we'll be joining other parts of the business that are already using data to inform decisions and answer questions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love this conversation. Let's pivot it just a little bit, because I want to get down from talking about this at a 50,000 foot level to talking about what it looks like on the ground. Because again, you're doing consulting, you're doing coaching for different L&D leaders on these kinds of things. And I'd love for you to give me, remembering your initial comment, not to get too nerdy, I guess. That's not a concern of mine. I'd love that. But talk a little about what your typical session looks like when you're sitting down with an L&D leader. Are they coming to you with, hey, we know there's something here, we don't know how to measure it? Are they saying, hey, we're measuring, but now what? I'm curious kind of how that starts, how you kind of decide and guide them through that initial decision-making process.
Yeah, that's a great question, Ben. And one of the things that I like about the work that I do is that there is so many variables. It never gets old. It's never the same. And I work with many organizations, different types, public, private, you name it. And the work that I do picks up on wherever they are in the learning and development, measurement, data and analytics journey. So typically, what I do is work with organizations who have started it, who have started collecting some kind of data that answers some kind of question. And those organizations aren't exactly sure about whether or not they are collecting data to answer the right questions. They aren't even sure if they are collecting the right data. So a typical conversation with me and working with an L&D leader, or maybe even a senior leader in the business who's not in L&D, is to determine what is the goal, what is the business goal, that is, and how does people's performance support achieving that goal? So you'll notice, Ben, that with those questions, I am not so much focused on training as I am focused on business goals and as I am focused on performance. Because when we think about data and analytics for learning and development, one of the things that we want to be looking at is what is the evidence that shows whether or not learning has impacted performance in a way that helps people or help the business reach an organization goal. So is it improving quality? Is it reducing errors? Is it improving customer satisfaction? So in my engagements and my conversations with businesses who are wanting my help for how to use data and analytics, the first conversation I am always having, Ben, is focused on what does the business need? And I'm focused on how does the business measure whether or not it has been successful in reaching any particular goal. So my work is helping L&D organizations and people outside the organization shift their thinking. What I am working to do is make connections between organization goals, people's performance, and learning development. I'm not focused on training at all. training might be an outcome of some of the work that I do. But first and foremost, I'm looking for areas where I can help learning and development organizations make impact. And the way that they make impact is by focusing on making impact on the business, not making impact on a training survey that shows how many people they trained or how many classes they offered or how many hours of training they offered. That's not impact. That's activity. That's operational data, and it has a place, right? So I don't want to lose it. But again, I'm focused on data and analytics that helps organizations show impact. And so when I'm working with executives and senior leaders and chief learning officers, I'm working to get them in a different mindset. I'm working to hopefully help shift their thinking about learning and development. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely it does. And one of the things that you said in there, I even wrote it down because I think it's a really interesting idea and helps to solidify this for me and maybe for some others, is you said training might be an outcome of that initial analysis, but it is not the solution. It is not the path. It is not the, you know, the definite answer. It is not even the starting point. It might be an option that we consider, but training is not the first thing that we think of when we're approaching this from an analytical viewpoint.
I so much agree with that. And you know, I used to have a saying that training is tactical, learning and development is transformational. So there's a big difference between the two. And what I often find is that when we're having that deeper conversation about what are business goals and what are performance requirements, we often find that training and learning development is not a solution at all. So if you dig deep, if you have those deep conversations up front, you may discover that of all the solutions that are available, learning, development, training may not be one. And so then you might say to yourself, Ben, well, Kevin, aren't you talking yourself out of a job when you do that? And the answer to that question, Ben, is absolutely no, because then what I become is a performance consultant to the business, right? So then we can focus on what solutions will help people move their performance in a way that helps them achieve organization goals. So, you know, it makes me that much more valuable, because then we don't waste time, money, or effort investing in something that's not going to move the needle at all.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of those things that when I talk about ROI, and I have a presentation coming up in a week or two that I'll be doing around metrics and using an evidence-based approach to HR. And one of the points in the conversation that I make that I'm very clear about is when we're doing this analysis of ROI, we're trying to understand the actual outcomes of this thing. It is not necessarily a performance evaluation on you as a professional. It's a performance, because it's a process improvement tool for the things you're doing. And so people are sometimes a little bit worried, I think, to measure, because they think, oh, well, what if the business finds out that this training wasn't actually adding value? Or what if they find out that, you know, those courses we've been developing aren't making someone's performance any better? Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, let's find that out now before we invest another year's worth of budget into that and keep going down that path when there are little to no returns in some cases for some of those things. So I think that's a really good point to think about it from that perspective as a performance consultant, because you're really a business professional in that circumstance that works in L&D instead of just saying, hey, I'm an L&D person and I can solve your problem with some training. That's a different kind of conversation, and I think it commands a different level of respect and credibility at an executive level for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And you raised another interesting point, Ben, because I met someone a couple of years ago who shared something with me that was another one of those transformational moments. And what she said to me is, don't be afraid of data that tells a bad story. Be afraid of not doing anything with the results. So I just want to let that marinate for a moment, because it's so powerful, right? Oh, so when you think about it, you know, even in other parts of the business that are using data to tell their story, I am pretty certain that those stories are not always good ones. But I suspect that from the insight that they gain from that data, they make different decisions and they do something different. And so I would say the same is true for learning and development. So if we get data that tells us that our efforts are not making an impact on people's performance or business results, my recommendation is simply stop. Stop doing what you're doing. And then as we look at whatever it is that we're doing, let's take a look at, are there ways to do it differently, ways to do it better? And if the answer to that question is no, then we just need to stop doing it. So, you know, again, don't be afraid of the bad stories that learning and development data can tell. Just be afraid of not doing anything with the results.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Goodness. Okay. I think I've got one more question I want to grill you with before we start wrapping up. But one of the things that I spend a lot of time with is technology on the learning side. I talk to a lot of different vendors. You know, I just recently published a piece that kind of looked at some non-LMS technologies in the learning space that I think are really interesting for helping us to gather intelligence around what people are learning and to connect that in some ways to retention and performance and those important outcomes that we're actually trying to move to. And I'm curious if you have a perspective on that. What role does learning technology play in this sort of conversation around measurement? What role does it play, if any? It might not. It might rely on some other things, but I'm curious what your thought is there.
So I'll share with you what I am most excited about, and this is where some of that nerdiness that you talked about at the onset of our conversation is going to kick in. So what is so exciting right now for learning development is XAPI and learning record stores. So I'll try to describe this in a non-technical way so that our listeners can, you know, get an idea of what it is. So what XAPI does is capture data across your learning ecosystem. And it broadens the learning ecosystem, or rather the way that I would define the learning system is what happens not only within those things that learning and development has published and offered and pushed out, but also those things that are happening outside of learning and development and captures different ways in which people are learning. So here's what I mean by that, Ben. So in your learning ecosystem, you might have your learning management system and all that data that is within it. So, you know, you're capturing data around what courses were offered, who's taken what courses, you know, completion rates and all that. So that's in your learning management system. But if you think about it from a real world perspective, Ben, day to day, if there's something that you want to know, something that you want to figure out where you don't have a question, I suspect one of the first things you might do is Google it, right? So you might Google something and then you might find a video about it. So you go out and you watch that video, or you might Google something and then you find a white paper. So then you might grab that. So now you have access to different types of performance or learning support solutions outside of what your learning development team might have offered, right? So if you think about it that way, then your learning ecosystem includes all the things that you're doing internally for training and learning development, but it also includes those things that employees are reaching out and grabbing and accessing on their own. So here's what XAPI data can do. XAPI data can sit on top of all that data, and it can create a robust picture of what your learning ecosystem looks like and how people are interacting within it. The other thing that XAPI data can do is connect with business systems that you might not ordinarily think of as part of learning and development story. So let's say that you're in an organization that is using Salesforce. So you might be able to capture data that shows how different people are performing with their customers, their different pipelines and all that. You might also be able within an organization to start capturing data from your performance management system. So again, XAPI sits on top of all these different systems, all these different aspects of the learning ecosystem, and it allows you to create a story about what's happening in the learning ecosystem and how people are engaging. Are you seeing any trends? What happens when you combine this with that? How does that impact people's performance? How does it impact organization goals? So I would say that XAPI and the way that it captures data across a learning ecosystem, across different types of platforms in an organization, is game-changing. I like to say that XAPI makes all data equal, right? So you can capture data from very different sources through XAPI, put those data records and those metrics into a learning record store, and then begin to extract data from that learning record store, and you can analyze it. You can take a look at it, and that's where you find your story. So, you know, in summary, then, for me, the most exciting, game-changing, transformational technology for learning development is really XAPI and learning record stores.
Excellent. I don't think I was surprised to hear that from you, based on your focus area and everything else, but what I love about it is I'm glad you broke that down and told some stories and specific examples of how that works, because it's really easy for us all to get lost in the technology conversation. I'm writing a book right now that's partially about AI and technology and how it impacts our profession. And I'm really, really do my very best to keep it non-technical so that we can focus on the stories, the use cases, the value points, versus getting all tripped up around, and how does this thing work, and what's the theory behind that, and how does the, like, you know what, there are people whose entire job is focused on those kinds of things. We need to understand generally how they operate, but then let's get down to how is this going to improve what we're doing. Again, this, the word you used specifically was, what's the story? Can we create a story? Can we tell a story with this data that helps us to improve what we're doing, to understand it better, to stop something that's not working? You know, all of those things kind of factored in. I love taking that kind of approach to it.
Yeah, yeah. And similar to you, Ben, you know, by my own admission, you know, I'm not super smart when it comes to technology. I am an end user and I am proud to be. And so my question is, what technology is there that will help me answer the question, what impact does learning development have on business, on the business and people's performance? So, you know, to your point, there are so many smart people out there when it comes to the ins and outs of the technology. But as a learning and development data analyst, I'm just looking for the tools that help me do the work that I believe is important, that I'm, you know, passionate about.
Excellent. Excellent. Good stuff. So we're getting close to wrapping up. Tell me, you got a chance here. You've got a lot of your brethren out there working in L&D or working in HR with that,
L&D brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Don't forget the L&D brothers and sisters.
Yes, absolutely. What advice would you give them if they've listened to your conversation today and they think, you know what, I want to be Kevin when I grow up. You know, I want to,
oh my goodness,
I want to understand this a little better. I want to have an awareness of this. I want to have that credibility of using data when I'm speaking to my boss about things and trying to understand what's going on in the business side. What sort of advice would you give them to take this forward and make this something that they're actually more competent at if they're not already?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I would say it starts with what we've talked about already. It starts with being curious. You got to be curious. And by curious, I mean curiosity beyond how many people were trained, how many hours of training were offered, and how many courses were offered. I say it starts with being curious about impact. And by impact, I mean be curious about the extent to which learning and development is changing behavior, changing performance. Be curious about the extent to which learning and development is making an impact on the way in which people are using their performance to help an organization reach its goals. And again, that goal may be, you know, improving customer satisfaction, or, you know, maybe improving cycle time or reducing errors. So I think it's really going to start with curiosity and moving beyond where learning development has traditionally focused, which is really, you know, those activity metrics. But we want to move into metrics and data that shows performance outcomes and performance impact. And I would say that if you want to get started in that area, one of the things that you need to be thinking about is having a very different kind of conversation first. So start with conversations that are about the needs the organization has for performance. Start with conversations about what it is that the business wants to achieve. What are business goals? And then think about how does people's performance help the organization achieve those goals, and then be thinking about learning and development solutions that impact performance. And then when you're thinking about that, think about ways in which you can use data and metrics and analytics to answer the question, did all that we do and all that we've done and all of our efforts ultimately make an impact on our organization's goals?
Excellent. Good stuff. If I could wrap that up and box it up and sell it, I would be. Goodness, awesome. That's good stuff.
And I'd want some of those royalties if you're going to sell it.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. You have earned them thoroughly. So, Kevin, how can people reach out to you and connect and want to learn more about you, what you're doing, or if they just want to kind of follow you and the work that you're doing, how can people best connect with you?
Yeah, I think that the best way to connect with me is any one of the places where I am in social media. So I am on LinkedIn, and you can follow me there. I am on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Kevin M. Yates. And I am also on Facebook, and my handle there is Kev M. Yates. And then the first place to start, if you really want to get to know me, who I am and my work and where I focus and my history and what I've done is to go out to my website. And that's pretty easy. It's KevinMYates.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Kevin. This has been a pleasure for sure.
Well, this has been an awesome conversation. Hopefully you've heard the excitement that I have about this topic. So I'm happy to talk about it to anyone who wants to hear about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good stuff. To everybody else, thank you again for joining me on We're Only Human. This has been Eubanks, and I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thank you for listening to We're Only Human. Please take a moment to share this episode with another HR leader who might see it as a valuable resource in their daily work. For more information about the podcast and to see all our show archives, please visit upstarthr.com.